guys, welcome to another episode of Masters of the Galaxy podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Johnson. Of course, Brian not with us as of now. Brian could show up. He could make it to the podcast. But as of now, just me, Andrew Kay, still working on some things during his summertime run. As most of you know, Andrew's a teacher. So during the summer months, Andrew has some things he has to get done. He's been doing some remodeling. Brian's had some stuff going on also, doing some traveling. As you guys heard last week, he's on a boat. So along with the Ultimates, Brian also still missing. So no real update from last week as far as Ultimates go. We haven't seen anything from anyone. I haven't seen any actual posted pictures that would indicate that anything has been sent out at this point. I think there was a shipping notice. I'm almost certain that someone had seen a shipping notice, maybe telling them that their order, or perhaps that it was he had updated that shipping notices would be going out pretty soon. Not really sure on that. So that's where we're at with Ultimates. No real change. Nothing major going on in that camp. Of course, everybody right now, of course, the focus is on San Diego. On PowerCon and PowerCon and what's coming up. San Diego now, obviously, but we're starting to see some things for PowerCon trickling through and some things that caught my attention this past week that I thought was really interesting. We got some stuff from Mythic Legions. So Mythic Legions, another line that the Four Horsemen obviously are responsible for sculpting. So with that line, a lot of really cool stuff. There's the articulation's a little bit different. The sculpts are a bit different. I don't personally collect Mythic Legions, but these two characters really caught my eye. So if you guys have not seen these yet, I think Brian shared the link within the Masters of the Galaxy page. But on that page, or within that link, it shows us two new characters that are going to be debuting for PowerCon. Not San Diego, but for PowerCon. Of course, that's going to be in Los Angeles September 9th and 10th. For those of you who have not been able to line that up, I know Brian is definitely going. That's something that Ozone is always a part of. Andrew Kay will be there also. I myself will probably be right here, but we're going to try to podcast with you guys, and I think those guys are going to do some stuff live from the show. So to go over some different things and some things that we've got going on. But as for me, for tonight, you guys are stuck with me, me and Trappy. So we're talking about tonight, going to talk about some Trap Jaw. But first, going to continue on with this interesting thing with Mythic Legions. So Mythic Legions, there have been some other things that are a bit of a tie-in to Masters, and obviously with the same folks doing the sculpts that do the sculpts for Classics, there could be some bleed over. So really interesting piece that came from this Mythic Legion set from the Four Horsemen. So the Four Horsemen posted is on July 15th, Mythic Legions returns to PowerCon. Two of the recently revealed characters from Mythic Legions Coliseum, Adamon and Keltis. So obviously you guys can see the similarities in the voice there, or in the names there. We have Adamon and we have Keltis. Obviously, if we could hear their voices, I bet we would probably have some similarities there too, because this kind of stuff, guys, it's cool, but it's really undeniable, especially when you look at the pairing of the two things and the things that are presented with the characters. So I'm going to try to spin it around and let you guys have a look at it on this screen over here, and I'm going to try not to tear everything in the house down like I normally do, so we'll get old Trappy out of the way for a minute while we talk about these other cats. No, Paul, it's definitely not going to be an hour of Stratos. Probably won't do a whole hour. We're just going to talk, chat it up, and talk about a character that I very much love Trapjaw. So we'll talk about that tonight, and I'll share some memories with you guys on some of the stuff that I think was formative for me with Trapjaw. But either way, right now, let's keep it on with old Adamon and Keltis. So what I'm going to try to show you guys right here, I can't really see what I'm showing you. So here, let me lean up and make sure that I've got you guys on it. Yeah, I do. Okay, so there you go. There is Adamon and Keltis. So if you guys can't see the similarities on that bad boy, I don't know. You may need to get you a little visor like old Triclops and be able to see through the fog on that stuff right there, because very interesting sculpts. Obviously, Keltis has a secondary head that is blue that matches the skin. There is also a helmet head for Adamon. So we have Adamon and we have Keltis. Very interesting figures. If you look at the sculpts up close, obviously we don't want to say that it's He-Man's shield, but interesting color choice for the shield as far as what we've got there. He does, of course, carry a sword. His harness being somewhat more simplified, if we were comparing that to that of He-Man. Of course, we have the dreadlocks and the hair, or the wild, savage hair, the beard. Somewhat of a snarl on Adamon's face. These things are super cool, guys. And it's not, like I said, I don't personally collect Mythic Legions, but when we start seeing things like this and start seeing those kind of crossovers, it kind of makes me wonder. And then I start digging into those things, and that's when I found out there's another character called Unken. Interestingly enough, if you can try to figure who you think that might be, we have a Unken and a Duncan. So with Unken, he is a orc-looking beast, has some big lower choppers, and a little bit of orange armor, interestingly enough, with a green underlay. So how Unken could even be the least bit related to Duncan, there's no way. But so kind of the same thing with Adamon and Keltis, where, of course, Keltis being the tie-in with Keldor, and Adamon being a tie-in with Adam, the previous identities of both, if you are accepting of that canon. The sculpt on Adamon, very cool, very veiny, a lot of detail in the sculpt. And so far from what I've seen with Mythic Legions, I mean, like I said, you guys are miles ahead of me on that, because I have not checked that out at all. But one of the things that I've really noticed with that particular line is there is a whole lot of articulation, or not articulation, but a whole lot of detail in the figures themselves. So like the veins, the muscle definition, just on the gauntlets, on the hands of the glove that Adamon is holding the sword. A lot of detail on the shield, especially with the paint app on that. You've got sort of a different, again, simplified type version of the loincloth that's in the center. But we do have some leg pieces that are flanking down the sides of the leg. So that's kind of awesome that you've got the big guards up on the leg. Obviously, I know we would never, we won't necessarily get this figure in a classics type way. Hey, what's up? What's going on, El Tendo, Fabrizio? What's happening? Thanks for jumping in there, man. I just now popped the live chat up, so if you guys want to talk to me and help me through this, because you guys know when I fly solo, I say some crazy things, and I don't necessarily have anybody to fact check me here. So, you know, if Johnson gets to flying a little bit wild and we, pause for the calls, and we get a little off course, y'all just let me know. So, here's what it'd be to you for me, and let's talk about Keltis as well. So Keltis, again, blue skin. If you look really closely, is something that I thought was interesting. The way that Mythic Legions has, or I guess the way that the Four Horsemen have sculpted these particular characters for Mythic Legions, some of the skeleton type characters or the skeleton warriors, they are thinner, obviously. So like the legs and the arms, they've done a lot of detail in bringing that down like a skeleton would be. Now, obviously for me, and it was that way with the vintage, obviously they were in the same scale when we got our vintage characters, He-Man and Skeletor, but I need Skeletor to be the same. I like for him to have that same physique that He-Man has because it allows him to do the things that he does. Probably one of my favorite depictions of Skeletor outside of Alcala, because obviously Alcala being my number one. But outside of that, definitely like the way that he is portrayed in MYP. So a little bit different, also where he's a bit more slender and toned and sort of ripped, you know, and hides beneath his cape and his cowl and stuff. So with this particular figure, with Keltis, it's interesting. Of course, he is carrying a staff. I can't see the top of the staff, so I don't necessarily know what's going on there. But the helmet that they've chosen for the Skeletor-looking face, of course, that face is the yellow and green Keltis face. But for that helmet, it's kind of cool. He's got the spiked, one single spike helmet, and the stuff sort of hanging down with it there like he's going into battle. So very awesome the way that that sculpt came off. Again, much like Adamon, it matches the way that those pieces hang. So with his loincloth, it's a bit more of a looks like a leather type, different pieces put together. The feet on each are a little different. They're pointy. I don't know if I really care for the sharpness of the boots and the sharpness of the feet. Of course, if we were dealing with iron armor or steel armor of some kind, of course, that's going to be laid in platelets. So, I mean, it makes sense to me, and it does look good. It's just one of those things where I don't know from my personal opinion if I want that to be so sharp and pointy. And I like a little, you know, different. I like the claw toes on Skelly, obviously, if they've kind of made it look that way with Keltis. So it's kind of neat. Hey, what up, Grim? What's going on? So Grim Diagon, what's up, buddy? Grim's in the chat. The staff has a helmet on it. They used it for another figure before. That's pretty cool. Thanks for letting me know that. So you guys do know a little bit about these Mythic Legions. Like I said, if you know a little, you know a lot more than me. So I'm just now kind of getting to spot that line out. And to be honest, man, these two have really got my attention. If I don't like to post anything in Lucky Legends that isn't MOTU related. Obviously, we delete posts if they're not MOTU related because we try to keep everything Masters. And this podcast, Masters, you know, and of course Thundercats and everything in between. We didn't do our intro opening because Brian's got us all off kilter here, man. Ain't got nobody up there steering a boat. Got the boys down here rowing. We don't know where we're going. But no, I'm just kidding, guys. So I don't really like to do anything that is not a true crossover. But truth is, man, these figures, you just really can't. It's so undeniable, obviously. I mean, it's not like they were trying to hide anything with the naming. And, you know, they're obviously being clever. But these figures have really gotten my attention as far as possibly purchasing those. So for those of you who are going to PowerCon, who are getting the figures, Grim said he can't wait to get those. So that's pretty cool. I guess Grim's picking them up. But it says a certain amount. So they're doing this a little bit differently. I think this is how they did it in the past, and I think this worked once before. So a certain amount will be set aside for each day of the show. If you miss out on the 9th, come back on the 10th and try your luck again. So it's kind of one of those things, like you get in line, you could possibly get it. If you don't, well, we still got a certain number set aside for the next day, so you might come out, try to camp it out, and try to get them again. So a certain amount set aside for each day. Get there early, though, because if you were there for the sale of Mythic Legion's Unken figure, so they mentioned the Unken figure from the last PowerCon, and of course, obviously, guys, if we're talking about where we're at PowerCon, So it makes sense that we would have a figure by the Four Horsemen in this sculpt and in this scale to go kind of along with what, you know, a throwback or a nod to Motu. So that makes the most sense at PowerCon, obviously. So it says there will be no pre-order for the limited supply of Adamon and Kelsis figures that will be up for sale at PowerCon. It will be a strictly cash-only sale. But if you're lucky enough to get yours at the show, you'll be able to walk away with your Adamon and Kelsis figures before the Store Horseman pre-orders for the Mythic Legends Coliseum wave are shipped out. Those figures can be purchased separately, and each wave will, or each figure will be $35. So I am assuming by what I read there that obviously, even though they've shown them together, you don't have to buy both. You don't have to buy two, and the figures are going to be priced at $35, and you can pick those up. So I can guarantee you guys, and just because I did a little looking around at that Unkin thing, if you don't get your hands on these bad boys right in the beginning, going to be a little tough. eBay prices might get a little bit through the roof, just in the sense that these suckers are hot, and so they're gonna go. So that's where it is with that. And of course, we've talked about this far too much, but interestingly enough, too. It says it kind of gives a little bio for each character. I thought it was really awesome. But it says at the end of the blurb for Kelsis, it says using his feared abilities of dark sorcery along with his physical might while battling in the arena, his name still echoes as if hissed by a mountain of snakes from deep within the tunnels of the Mercurian Coliseum. Kelsis. Yeah, man. Good shit. I mean, I really do like it. I think it's awesome. I don't know. I will do my best to get my hands on these particular two figures. Also, probably that Unkin deal because, man, he is a pretty glorious-looking figure. Little nod to Duncan, so cool there. Pause for the cause for the Four Horsemen, y'all, and we'll move it on. Wanted to talk about another one of my favorite figures. So last week we did a good guy, talked about Stratos. And of course, Stratos kind of let us off because he could be either or. Started out as being sometimes portrayed as evil, sometimes portrayed as good. Did a whole hour show on Stratos. If you guys missed that, please go check it out. Paul Rudman will tell you that it is the absolute best hour on Stratos that he's ever spent. So really appreciate your nod there, Ruddy Rudd, and going with me on that, man. So thank you for taking that strange trip and dark journey with me as we traveled through the inner feathery recesses of Sean Connery as the Birdman. Actually, we were talking about that last week, and it is trivia that that voice was fashioned after Sean Connery. So that was intentional to make him sound that way, added wisdom and made him trustworthy and loyal as a leader. Got that type of voice. Here in the country, Sean stick out just a little bit. Coming here talking all fancy and stuff, man, you get people upset. These people's trying to go up to the Walmart and sprayed their kids down with some Febreze, and they got them walking around out there buying some stuff with them tax refund checks. So don't get it twisted. Be where you're from. While in Rome, do as the Romans do. While in Mythic Legions, do as Kelsis and Adamon do. So there you go. So Trapjaw, I'm going to lead into Trapjaw and just kind of tell you guys my personal, you know, how did Trapjaw come about for me? What, you know, what is my personal memory with that? And if you guys want to share your memories of Trapjaw, do it in the chat. If anybody in the chat wants to say, you know, what your first memory of Trapjaw was and how important that was to you, or if you like the character, you don't like the character, you know, say something in the chat. We'll talk about it online. It's the cool thing is when it's just me, I don't have anybody to talk to. So, y'all leave me over here all alone. Ain't got nobody to talk to. You just got to talk to myself. So my first memory with Trap Jaw, and I've told this a couple times. I think all the guys in the group in the Waffle Moth, they know that they've heard my crazy madness about how my grandfather always kept me every time I came over once a week. I had a new figure every couple of weeks. It was never that consistent because we weren't we were by no means rich kids, and Hills was pretty far away. It's about an hour from where we were. So a little shout out to Tyler Baker right there for Fans of Power, because he and Joe were having a discussion about the rock people. Tyler had mentioned that, you know, he shopped at Hills, and that's Hills is where the toys are. So Hills was a little ways away from me. We had another store here in town that was called Mahoney's, and or actually it was called Maloney's. We do have a Mahoney's, which is a totally different type of store that you would definitely not find Masters of the Universe there. But back in the day, we had a store called Maloney's, and Maloney's did always stock them up. You had tons of vintage figures, and He-Man really at that time for me, you know, 83, as a child, that's all there was. I mean, when I went into the store, that was the only thing that I was after. Man, you can draw a little bit of my attention with those flashy, shiny GoBots and Autobots and Transformers and Decepticons and all that good stuff. But the truth is, guys, nothing for me ever has amounted to close to the Masters of the Universe and all the different canons that we've had. But my vintage experience was very cool, because my grandfather, who always purchased me these vintage figures, would set them up in the same place. So, you know, every time that I got to go visit, go running in there to see if a new figure was there. And when Trap Jaw was there in that vintage packaging and those bright colors, it was so strange to me. He really stuck out. He was different than everybody else. That jaw was very menacing, the way that, you know, you could pull his action feature down. And for those of you, obviously, who know, who don't know, of course you guys know, we got that same cool articulation in the Classics version. Now, it is not hinged like the original version where old Trappy snaps back into place, but very cool. The design's so different. Hadn't really ran across anything like that. I thought I had a Trap Jaw, a vintage Trap Jaw, hanging out up here somewhere. You never know, guys. Sometimes middle of the toys, things just go insane. So normally what happens is waffles. So that's pretty much what happened. But so here you go. Vintage Trappy. My very first version, obviously. You had, much like the Classics version, we have that cool piratey type belt, utility belt there. Of course, that came on this guy. We've got the arm with several different attachments. And then, of course, the jaw had a bit more of a spring action where it would pull itself back up. This Trappy's seen some better days. But so Trap Jaw, when I first saw this guy, and he, you know, you first lay eyes on him as a kid, man, blue, you know, green, these really contrasting colors, the sort of fuchsia, purple, you know, whatever you want it to be. I mean, that stuff was fire. Like, I had never seen anything like that. And I just remember, you know, as a child, just being absolutely shocked and amazed at this character, and could not wait to read about him and read his backstory and sort of know what's going on with him. Now, keep in mind, he was being, of course, the vintage version of him coming out, and that's, I think it was the second wave that had Trappy in it. Yeah, and most trap jaws, Dagon, I feel you, brother. He's one of my favorites, too, and I do love that arm. But one of the things that always ended up happening was this is what your trap jaw ended up looking like, man. And you just had to pretend that this sumbitch right here was just a cannon because you done lost everything else. He's poor, and you traded his parts in for something else, and man, you done lost it. So you just have to pretend that this is your hand cannon and go with it there. But, yeah, so – when I saw that, and I saw that, man, it's this crazy character. He's so different. Coloration's so different. Bright, popping. Oh, gosh, can't wait to read this cat's story. And so you get the story. You get the menace of Trapjaw. And you get a little pause for the cause. Boys, we have needed a pause for the cause all day today, I'll tell you that. Because old dad got a little too rowdy yesterday during the NASCAR race. Stuff got a little sideways. But anyway, so over to your old Bible. There is what we got. We got the menace of Trapjaw. Cool, man. I mean, absolutely cool. The artwork on the front is killer, but this ain't the figure I got in my hand. I mean, it kind of is. It kind of looks like him. But maybe they just didn't color him right. So as a kid, you go tearing into the story to try to figure out exactly what's going on here. And just another interesting little piece of trivia, and I like to throw these things out here when I get them because I like to go back, and when we have waffles later on in the week, and for those of you who don't know what waffles are, please ask a friend. Ask your mom. She knows. But she knows all about that syrup. But what I like to do is I like when we're having waffles for the week, I like to go back and ask trivia of things that I asked during the show so that I can kind of drive some folks to check it out and listen. So please, if you guys like this show and you like listening to me ramble and you like hearing us talk about things, or if you don't like me at all, please tell somebody. If you don't like me, tell a lot of people. Because that always helps me out. It helps the haters sometimes really fuel things because they have to watch to figure out, you know, what you're talking about. So at least they watch it one time. But so, yeah, man, share this thing. Please spread the word and talk to other people about the podcast because it makes it fun for me to be able to get on here and talk to you guys and interact with you guys. And then later on in the week when we're kind of in our little man cave area of the internet over at Lucky Legends doing our thing, or over at Lord of Destruction Waffles, or Most Powerful Waffles, or Law Wheel, anywhere that the Waffle Mafia may be, that we're hanging out and talking about things, I like to ask some trivia questions and kind of do that with the group about stuff that we talked about earlier in the week. Obviously, Stratos, we had a big Stratos week this week where we talked about Stratos and obviously from the week before, so those kind of things play into the waffles. The waffles lead to that. So with Trapjaw, a little interesting piece of trivia, and I am a big fan of the mini comics. So an interesting piece of mini comic trivia is the word menace. So with this one, we got the menace of Trapjaw. It also appears three times in your Motu mini comic titles. So you do have three minis that have the word menace in it. We have Menace of Trapjaw. There's also, let's see, is there Menace of Many? No. Menace of Trapjaw. We have, oh, come on, man. One of them's popping right into my head. The Menace of Leech? No. Menace of Montana? No. We'll see. Let's see. Menace. Give it to me now. Menace of Multibot. Yeah, that's the one that was popping in my head from Montana. So the Menace of Multibot, that one's pretty cool. Got Multibot on the front, and he kind of looks a little different also. So maybe we're just doing something with this menace thing. If you're called a menace, you look all different kinds of ways. And then we got, let's see, there's got to be one more. Yes, Montana and the Menace of the Evil Horde. So Montana also, we have Menace in there. I know Treachery is also one that plays. I think we have a couple of instances of Treachery maybe. But so Menace of Trapjaw, this was the first mini that we got. And like I said, in a hurry, man, tearing into this thing. Can't wait to read it. Get over here, tear it open. Wait a minute. This ain't Trapjaw. This is not the figure that I have in my hand. Do you, I mean, as a child, guys, that's confusing because what I see right here is I see a blue and purple guy who's got a green face. You get to tearing into the mini, and that's not what you get at all. But it's still very cool the way that he was presented in his mini. And I do remember as a child kind of wondering why that was different. Like, it did stick out to the fact that there is a difference here, but it really didn't translate to ruining that character for me or as a different character, because either way, he was Trapjaw. This was Trapjaw, and then, of course, this guy was Trapjaw. And, of course, the tie-in is the jaw. It is what it is. But so the mini-comic version, to me, I liked it a little bit better. And that kind of you wish the figure looked the way the mini-comic did, but it doesn't. So you're accepting of both, and you kind of move on with the fact that they're one and the same. Super 7 obviously wanted to give a nod to the fact that they're not one and the same, and when we're getting these the new 3-pack that has Prince Adam, Stratos, we also have mini-comic Trapjaw. And so that's how this Trapjaw has come to be known as a mini-comic Trapjaw. And one of the things that I think is really cool, the way that this character is originally introduced, I mean, this dude is flying in like a madman, you know, unrepentedly swinging in, get out of my way, knocking Skeletor through a portal. And he comes stepping out at Grayskull. So one of the coolest parts of that is the fact that Grayskull was there and he kind of came through. So it says, "What a strange land this is, but behold, it's so closely aligned to Eternia. What an image of Castle Grayskull, or it is so aligned with Eternia that an image of Castle Grayskull appears before me. Even here, the castle resists me." So even though we are in what would be to me a different dimension, Skeletor has stepped through a dimensional portal and stepped into this new land, although very similar to Eternia in a lot of ways, but so closely tied and related that there is an image of Grayskull there. And the crazy thing is, right beside the image of the castle, here comes Trapjaw. And what we have is he's on the run. So as soon as this thing starts, they paint the picture in your young mind. This dude is a villain. He's on the run. These guys are after him. So, you know, not a good guy in any way. And they leave no bones about the fact that this guy is a criminal. And so a very tough criminal. They can't catch him. And so you'll not escape us this time. Obviously, he's escaped them multiple times. Swings in, knocks Skelly through the portal, tries to hold his ground, and as he's backing up, the portal being in front of Grayskull, he falls back through it, and then boom, portal's gone. Now, interestingly enough, and this is something that is odd in the canon, because you guys know how Grayskull works. You know you don't just appear in there. You don't just open the Jawbridge. There are lots of mystical powers and things that are aligned that allow the Jawbridge to stay closed and only be opened if it's the two halves of the power sword, or if the spirit deems it, or if you answer the riddle, or whatever the thing may be. You know, Grayskull is impenetrable. And what we actually see with Trapjaw, and I think it's really crazy, is boom. And what you see here is Trapjaw coming out of Grayskull. So for you guys who have not read The Menace of Trapjaw in a while, go back and revisit. It's really interesting. We have the longer-haired He-Man, obviously. You've got Point Dread, Teela in Flying Point Dread, or Flying the Talon Fighter. They're shot down as the Talon Fighter goes down, and it's from the power of Trapjaw. And Trapjaw says, "Who am I? Only a criminal in my own world. But now with the power from the castle, I am a god." So this shall be the first world that Trapjaw conquers. So not the Trapjaw that we're really used to, because the Trapjaw that most folks associate the most, obviously, he looks like this because this is a little bit closer to the Filmation version. But with the Filmation version of Trapjaw, we have sort of a different presentation of the person that he is. He is a bit more of a bumbling lackey. Things never quite go the way that he plans. Skeletor uses him in a lot of ways to handle his dirty work, handle the light work. So he puts those kind of things on Trapjaw. And Trapjaw, of course, ultimately always fails. So, you know, as far as henchmen go, the Filmation version paints a very different look at Trapjaw as opposed to what we see right here in this mini. So for me, I really enjoy the mini comic Trapjaw because of the fact that they established with that character right away that Trapjaw is very powerful. He's a criminal. There's my family. He is a criminal. He's on the run. He has a lot of power. And when he pops up inside of Grayskull, that tells you something about Trapjaw. But the way it is drawn, it shows that it is fueling him. It is powering Trapjaw. So Man-at-Arms steps up to the challenge with Teela. Both of them shot down. He-Man, of course, then is engaging Trapjaw. And we even see that the Mighty Warrior He-Man also struggling with handling Trapjaw. So he says, "Ho, fiend, you will pay for that blow." So declares He-Man. So He-Man comes with a hellish blow and knocks Trapjaw in the jaw, takes one straight to the chin, but simply pops back with "Well struck, hero," and gives He-Man a pretty solid blast that takes him out of Grayskull. So what we see here, and it's, I think it's very awesome when you are introducing an evil character and you want this character to be, you want kids to take this character serious. It's tough to bring every single character out and kind of pit them against He-Man, or to take a new good guy and pit him against Skeletor. And obviously they have to lose. So how can I make this character look tough? How can I make this guy be remembered and have children have him in their mind? Grim got his at the garage sale. Yeah. So I never liked Faker as a kid because I didn't know what he was supposed to be. Yeah. I picked up quite a few at some garage sales also that were kind of beat around figures, and some I had never seen before. And I did pick up a couple that way also. So always on the hunt for Motu, as I am now, as I always stay on the hunt. That's part of my work day. Do a lot of traveling, yard sales, anything I run across that you might have toys on there, asking for masters or antique shops or anything like that. So, but interestingly enough, what you see right here is, in order to make Trapjaw a very believable, standalone, tough individual, so you've got to show the power that Trapjaw has. You have to show how what a formidable foe he could be for He-Man, because later on, this is not the only story we're going to get a Trapjaw. You've got to have him be somewhat competent. He's got to give He-Man a good run for his money and in order for it to work. But what we see here is we actually see him giving He-Man and Skeletor a run for their money. And that was the big reason that Trapjaw, to me as a kid, I never viewed him, of course, until Filmation, but I never viewed him as a bumbling henchman. I never viewed him as somebody who was going to ultimately just be working for Skeletor. This guy, he was against Skeletor. He, in fact, he could actually challenge Skeletor, and he's challenging He-Man as well. So with that being said, you know, it took the power of He-Man and Skeletor using their swords combined to defeat Trapjaw. And so with their combined power, they were actually able to zap him. Of course, he lost the power of the castle at that point, and that really is what's fueling him. And once that power is taken away, obviously he's done for. But we see in the final panel with Skeletor and Trappy that Skeletor has him, and he's going to take him back and have him work with him as a new servant. So very cool the way that story was done, and very cool that Super 7 has given us the nod to that figure with the three-pack. And, of course, that's Stratos, the flesh-colored Stratos, Prince Adam. And then we also have the mini-comic version of Trapjaw. And now, again, colors, not quite. So we've heard some complaints, and folks are not really happy with the coloration on the figure. But, again, we don't even actually have a figure in hand, so we don't know what that's going to be. Don't really know what that's going to look like for certain. But until we do, I think it's close. I really do. I think it may not be quite spot on, but it is close. And the sculpting, of course, and all that stuff, just absolutely up to, you know, what they do, the beauty of what they do. So, again, glorious figure that we're getting. I cannot wait to get that three pack. Three damn reasons I need that three pack. It is amazing. Real quick, guys, battery's dying here on the laptop. Now we got about 15 more minutes. I'm going to try to get y'all through this thing and talk about a few more different things about Trapjaw. And the next one, I'm going to grab the charger while I let this one do what it does. So I'm going to play you a clip. And this was also another way that I was introduced to Trapjaw. And what it was through the audiobook. So there are, again, different versions. We had the DC Motu mini comics in 82, which has the mini comic colored Trapjaw. He's got all the different skins a bit different. Now, he does still have his belt, and he's got his arm piece and all that good stuff. He doesn't have a bunch of detachable weapons, more or less a gun. It says, Trapjaw's color scheme in the mini-comic differed dramatically from that of his action figure. His body was yellowish-green instead of blue. His mechanical arm and jaw were both metallic silver rather than black and red, respectively. He also sported furry boots instead of his futuristic thigh-high boots. Personally, I like the furry. I'm going to dig the furry boots on the Super 7 version on the 3-pack, but the way that this got translated in classics is absolutely beautiful. And of course we have parts reuse. This is parts reuse with Manny Faces, but classics version, absolutely beautiful. Give me just a second. Let me grab the charger. I'm going to play something for you. This would be another way that Trapjaw is presented. So in the audio, in the actual audiobook, and this is Danger at Castle Grayskull, it was a two-pack with PowerPoint Dread. So you had one side of the record was PowerPoint Dread, the other side is Danger at Castle Grayskull. Danger at Castle Grayskull has a scene where He-Man has been captured and he's been put into the dungeon, and that's when we get our first little look at Trapjaw, and we hear what they would imagine Trapjaw to sound like. So some of these audio voices turn out really great. Some of them not so much. I'll let you guys decide and tell me what you think as far as how does this audio piece play in. So here's that.
And I'm in the dungeon. Who'd have thought it? The mighty He-Man locked up in a dingy cell.
Quiet, fool.
My, is that the best the great He-Man can do? Just throw water?
Don't talk to me. Just leave me alone.
Just for that, I'm going to stay and keep you company. Say, did I ever tell you about the time I brought off 16 giant spiders?
Upstairs, Skeletor is busy trying to study the castle's command center.
Beastman, leave that alone! Don't touch that merman! How can I learn the secrets of the castle
with you bumbling idiots?
Master, what does this lever do?
Serve the fool right!
Now, back in the dungeon.
In the dungeon, a strange change is taking place.
Then the sword went... What's happening? I can't move my mouth.
It worked. He's rusted shut.
What? Of course.
So, very cool, again, portrayal of Trapjaw. He's very much, it's Alcala style. So he's drawn in an Alcala style, which is very interesting. Obviously, the toy at this point had been released because he is absolutely toy accurate. He isn't necessarily Filmation accurate. So he's drawn more closely to resemble what the toy looks like. There are some details there that are a part of the toy that Alcala also got into that artwork. So what we actually have in that version is we have this particular Trapjaw. He's got his clawed arm. And what we learn is that He-Man actually can best Trapjaw with a cup of water. So I don't know that I ever really had a problem with it, though, as a kid. So I liked the fact that when Trapjaw was released, we have this most menacing, terrible criminal who can't be captured from this other dimension. And then we have a very different Trapjaw in this particular version of Trapjaw, and that's in the audiobooks. So a bumbler, someone being used by Skeletor, obviously, to do his evil work. He's one of Skeletor's henchmen. Classics version, of course, came with a really killer nod back to the vintage line. So you've got your ring that came with the vintage piece also. And it came with an extra arm. So we do have an extra arm and then a Cronus head. So Cronus is another interpretation of Trapjaw. So for you guys that don't know, and most of you do, because we love this stuff and we keep up with it and we see all these crazy things, but the different heads that we can put on our figures, and there is a Cronus head that shares this same blue skin that Trapjaw has, same face. Of course, obviously, he's not missing his jaw. He's just Cronus. So Cronus, also, that gave birth to a whole other character, a whole other origin, a whole other backstory to Trapjaw. And I think Trapjaw is very interesting in that he has a lot of different backstories. His title, he's listed, if we go into the Motu Compendium, this Character and World Compendium, for you guys that have it, Trapjaw's on page 245 if you guys want to check it out. But he is the Wizard of Weapons, so obviously his title is Wizard of Weapons. Other names, Cronus, another name, Jaw, and then we also have Trojan. So Trojan, Jaw, and Cronus, all different names for Trapjaw. Affiliations, Evil Warriors and Demons of Evil, Weaponry, Metal Jaw, Cybernetic Arm with Weapon Attachments, and Special Abilities are Biting, Swapping Mechanical Arm Attachments, and Inventing. So Trappy, actually, before we kind of got on that whole thing with MYP where Triclops had his workshop and he was always working on different things, his hat is about worn me out this evening. I'll tell you what, cash this damn thing in. Before we had all that going on with Triclops, it was actually Trapjaw who seemed to be the master of weapons, and that kind of thing makes sense to me because if he's got all these different cybernetic enhancements that he can put onto his arms, he's got to be able to make that stuff. So he kind of have a little workshop and make his own. How cool is that? Make your own attachments for your arm and build these new cybernetic enhancements that that allow you to do different things. So I don't want to shy or kind of not talk about the Filmation series Trapjaw. Probably my least liked version of Trapjaw, just because, again, presented as a bumbler, presented as a henchman who wasn't super effective. You know, He-Man could grab his his gun and bend it. We had moments where the gun shot out, you know, bang with Orko's magic. Just things that, I don't know, they're cool. And it's cool that when we got the the Club Grayskull line, that they gave a nod to those things because he came with his crossbow or power bow. And he also had the fly swatter. So, you know, very neat little nods that were done, but in a sense of presenting this character in a way that I feel this character deserves to be presented, I like Trapjaw not really having an affiliation. I obviously, he is an evil warrior. He will always be an evil warrior, but there are blurbs here, and if you get into this book, it will tell you about Trapjaw in a sense that he's presented in a lot of different ways. And so, of course, 83, Filmation, Trapjaw expanded on his characterization. The gruff voice Trapjaw was a skilled mechanic and inventor. He was the Wizard of Weapons, dubbed that by Skeletor, created all of his arm attachments and maintained and manufactured many instruments of destruction. His metallic jaw enabled him to bite through almost any substance on Eternia, and he could swallow and digest anything he ate. He could ingest the powerful substance known as Eternium, and temporarily granting him strength equal to He-Man's. Trapjaw worked well with Beastman, and they were frequently paired to carry out missions. He occasionally struck out on his own, and then even maintained his own base of operations in the Sand of Time when he teamed up with Lord Mask. So that is the Filmation telling. We also have the 1984 UK World MOTU Annuals. He was a cosmic criminal. So tying back into where we were at in 82, in 84 he was being presented in these UK World MOTU Annuals as a cosmic criminal again. He blue, still carried that same look, black, had the loop, everything kind of the same there. Now, one area where it really kind of goes off kilter here is with the German MOTU audio plays. And these were the German audiobooks. So these were the places where these are the books where we got Anti-Turning a He-Man and those kind of things came from. This was their portrayal of Trapjaw. Originally a benign engineer named Jaw. So this is where the name Jaw came from. He rescued a child who was chained to the ground about to be run over by Skeletor's tank. Though he succeeded, Jaw was struck by the vehicle, injuring his arm and jaw. Skeletor saved the unconscious Jaw's life, replacing his arm and jaw with cybernetic parts, but he also manipulated his brain, wiping all memory of his past life. Now, Trapjaw serves as Skeletor's slave and personal bodyguard. So, in that particular telling, we have Jaw. Doesn't really grab my fancy right there. Don't tickle me too much, but it's all right. I mean, you know, it's just a different telling of what we got. It says, 85, we had the Filmation Pop animated series' final appearance. Trapjaw once again teamed up with Beastman, overthrew Sweet Bee's entire race. So he had a new attachment, which allowed him to fly. So a little copter attachment for Trapjaw there. 82, Mike Young Productions, MYP. So that's 2000X series. Guys, be completely honest with you. Mini comic Trappy, probably my favorite just because the way that he's portrayed and the fact that he's different and it is the mini comic colored Trapjaw. I would definitely say that probably number one. My number one favorite sculpt of this character, you really can't, I mean, 2000X went hard on the 2002 line, went very hard on these figures. And, of course, again, designed by the Four Horsemen. Absolutely beautiful the way these bad boys are designed. And what we got was we got a 2000X or MYP look at the gun attachments and some of the things that Trapjaw has that are a bit different. He comes also with this particular one, he comes with the claw. I don't know where everything has just disappeared to over here. Who knows? There are beers involved. But either way, so normally hanging on his belt here, just like the original version. And their nod to it is absolutely beautiful. It, much more menacing of a face. I really like the way he was portrayed in MYP. Still a little bit bumbling to a degree. However, very, very tough figure, very powerful. Arm attachments could often change to aid him in whatever situation he may be in. So that is where we got into his origins. First appearing as Cronus, he was a blue-skinned member of Keldor's forces who were a part of the assault on the Hall of Wisdom. So if you guys will remember back to MYP when we get the beginning, which is broken into the three different sections, the beginning is where we're first introduced to Cronus, and we see him and Beastman and everybody. So when Randor has come in to talk to the elders, that's when Skeletor hits the building, and once he does, we do see Cronus there. So Cronus, a little throwback to the origin, giving you where he came from. He only sported the green-faced metallic John Cybernetic arm years later as one of Skeletor's evil warriors. In the Filmation series, he could ingest certain metals, Eternium, which gave him additional strength, and Deuterium, which sapped it. So we have Deuterium also that could zap his strength. So he had, here you can eat the spinach, here's stuff that takes it back. We also have, though somewhat dull-witted, Trapjaw is a fearsome loyal warrior on a battlefield who displays a more lighthearted side behind closed doors. In the 2002 MV creations, what those were those MV creation comics. Those were done by Image, or is that right? No, they were done by MV Creations. Sorry. So we had those 2002 MV Creations Motu comics. Building on his portrayal on MYP, they presented details about Cronus' transformation into Trapjaw. After Skeletor and his forces were trapped behind the Mystic Wall, Cronus questioned Skeletor's authority and was banished from Snake Mountain to survive on his own. He confronted Skeletor. He was met with crippling blows to his face, jaw, and arm. Impressed by Cronus' ingenuity, Skeletor spared his life. Triclops fashioned a metallic jaw and cybernetic arm that became his trademark weaponry. So basically healing himself and taking care of himself after a defeat to Skeletor or from Skeletor. In 08, we got Motu Classics. In the Classics line, Cronus was an insane criminal from the dimension of Infinita. So a little bit further on the backstory, they start adding some different things in. For a time, he worked as a thief and mercenary alongside his friend Psycor. So for those of you who don't know, Psycor became Psychop. So interesting that they tie those two together. No need for that. But anyway, Cronus betrayed him and to escape from a horde patrol. Later, Cronus was an inmate with Intergalactic Prison until Keldor freed him and several other evil warriors to fight at his side. He was a loyal warrior who fought alongside Skeletor and their enemies. So again, not going against Skeletor in that particular portrayal, he fought alongside him. So 2008, we've got those classics bios. That's the story with that. We got him again in 2012 with DC Motu Comics, another backstory for Trapjaw. Cronus was a shady trader who dealt in weapons, technology, and information, offering his wares to the highest bidder. During a robbery, He-Man threw a crushed blaster rifle at Cronus, and it actually blew his face up and hurt his arm. So that, at the hands of He-Man, obviously creates the reason that Trapjaw then has a vendetta against He-Man, and sometimes works in conjunction with Skeletor when it might aid him, and then other times is out on his own trying to pay He-Man back for what he suffered. So that was part of his long game. Let's see. I did not see anything about the other name, and that was kind of interesting because that particular name I don't know a whole lot about, Trojan. So I don't know if that was a part of maybe some of his original origin story. Maybe I just missed it as we were scrolling through here, but let's see, Trojan. I don't really see anything else about that. Next entry into this particular book is Trapjaw 2. So there is another Trapjaw. There's Trapjaw 2, and that goes along with Skeletine, if you guys are following that canon. Personally, I don't much like any of that. So, but that's just me again. So, guys, I really appreciate you all hanging with me and us talking about Trappy, one of my favorite figures of all time. And what I really like to do, I appreciate you guys hanging with me and doing this thing. Because what I like to do is in the weeks that nobody else is here to chat, we kind of just pick a figure from the past and talk about them and talk about who they are and what they do. So thanks for sitting through Stratos last week. Thanks for doing Trap Jaw with me this week. Again, if you look in the background there, we got, it's right over right there, guys. Lucky Legends. Come over to Lucky Legends, man. All Motu Page, we're family. Meet a great group of guys and girls, a lot of cool people to hang out with. We're working on a couple of different things, working on a fanzine, obviously, for the throwback to the old He-Man Masters of the Universe magazines, the 85, 86, 87 magazines. Actually, prior to, we go back to 82, I think, with the first one, or 83. So we're trying to do a throwback for that. So if any of you guys out there listen to this podcast, you're artists, or you are familiar with working on fanzines and you want to contribute to that or be a part of that, please PM me, man. Send me a message on Facebook. I do get a lot of messages, and not that I'm all that important, because I'm really not, but I do get a lot of messages. So if I don't say anything right back, you know, give me a second. I will holler at you. I talk to everybody who talks to me, because I love all you guys, and I really appreciate this community and what this community does, and how much we love each other and share the love through Masters of the Universe. So, again, Lucky Legends, if you guys are not a part of that page, come over and check it out. You guys can meet the Waffle Mafia and learn who we are and what we do, and come have some fun with us. We have most thirstiest of Thursdays, and we also have the most syrupy of Saturdays. Sometimes pop in and out, do some different things. There's a little rumor about this thing called a mega waffle that goes down sometimes. And also, Friday night fights is always a good time. So, get you feels at Law Wheels. And other than that, guys, please make sure you check out, the Masters of the Galaxy, page. So there is the Masters of the Galaxy page, very awesome page. Brian Ozone, who this is his show. He's got that page, and I'm an admin on the page also. We try to, Andrew also, so we try to interact with everybody who gets on that page. And you guys, if you want to share content, if you want to sell things, if you want to do, you know, whatever, you're welcome to either one of those groups, Masters of the Galaxy or over at Lucky Legends. And other than that, guys, I really appreciate you all hanging with us and doing this thing and allowing us to do this podcast. Shout out to the other podcasts. Love you guys as well. And with that said, my suggestion, obviously, for something to check out, any of the stuff we mentioned tonight, especially if you guys want to get into I don't know that Trap Jaw is super prominent in the DC Motu Comics to 2012, but if you really want to check something out, check him out in the MYP series. It's very awesome. And also check out those MV creations, because those MV creations are one-shots, and they tell kind of the story and origin of that person. So that's where you're at with Trappy. So other than that, guys, it's been an awesome time. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Aaron Johnson. We'll have a pause for the calls, and we'll take this bad boy out of here, y'all. So I appreciate it, and we'll catch you on the next one. We'll talk to you later, guys. Peace.